Make yourself a oneness with the loving earth. It's time for the Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95 BFM.
On the Green Desk this week, we don't have Lily. Instead, we have our new host, Jack Marshall. As climate change increases, there will be both benefits and costs to New Zealand's agricultural industries. Dr. Glenn Creasy, a senior lecturer in viticulture at Lincoln University in Christchurch, is looking at how New Zealand's vineyards will be impacted by changing climates. Jack spoke to Creasy and began by asking how exactly climate change might affect wider New Zealand.
The effects of climate change are something there's a lot of different models to sort of predict what's going to happen. And depending on the model, you can get lots of different answers to that question. But generally speaking, the east of the country will tend to get drier and warmer. The west actually might get a little bit wetter. But overall, people are mostly going to have to deal with less water, higher temperatures all year round, and again, more extreme weather events. So we'll have frosts that may occur later in the season, you know, in the springtime, or they might be more severe, or in the autumn we might have frosts that occur earlier or might be more severe. There'll be more severe weather events in terms of rainfall, possibly wind. So we can expect things to be a little bit more unexpected, I suppose.
It's not like everything kind of gets warmer. It's more like we just get more extremes. That's kind of my takeaway so far from what climate change is doing.
Yeah, it seems to be. We have plenty of evidence of that already, actually. Yeah.
Especially if you look to the States.
Mm-hmm.
And then so in these wine regions, like specifically are kind of our big hitters. So like in the South Island around Otago and things, what's going to happen around there? Because that's more inland.
Well, all the regions will be affected in some way. And I think that generally, you know, the most you can really say is that they're going to have to deal with less precipitation, although that precipitation may come, you know, in larger individual batches, or there may be extended drought periods that they may have to deal with. So that extreme area, there's a lot of frosts in many areas of central Otago, and so they can expect to have to deal with more frosts and perhaps more severe frosts. And that could have a direct impact on production in some of the more marginal areas particularly. And that holds true pretty much for all the other grape growing regions as well. In Marlborough, there are areas there where vines are grown quite far up into the valleys. And there they're a lot more exposed to colder temperatures in the springtime. And although they have systems in place to deal with this, the systems may not have been built to be robust enough to deal with some of the more severe events. And we may see changes in productivity from those areas and profitability of those vineyards over time.
And I've just been doing some research online, just some light Googling, and then on the New Zealand kind of program for climate change, it was saying that in general, a warmer climate will have benefits for subtropical fruits such as avocados and citrus, and then generally wine grapes will benefit if sufficient water is available.
Yep.
This sounds actually pretty good, to be honest. I mean, avocado production. But as long as we have enough water, we can get the grapes and things. But in terms of citrus and avocados, is that going to be something that's actually not affected too badly apart from the frosts?
Well, I'm not an expert in those areas at all, but I mean, yeah, it's a trade-off between having warmer temperatures, and that is beneficial for the grape industry a lot too, because in a cool climate, we're often struggling, you know, to get grapes ripe enough to harvest before the weather sort of closes in the autumn, and if it's warmer, then we should have less of a struggle. But overall, it's a matter of that might be better, but then the more extreme events might make it a little bit harder to deal with in a practical sense. So with other crops, it'd probably be similar. There'll be bonuses maybe from climate change. And people talk about, for example, the carbon dioxide level has been increasing in the atmosphere for a long time. And it's actually quite a lot higher than it was 50 years ago. Because plants turn carbon dioxide into oxygen, you know, it's a food source for them basically. And as the concentration rises, their productivity could rise as well. But, there are a lot of other sort of potential downsides around that as well. So it's a complicated system, and one change can result in a lot of other changes, and a change that might be beneficial for one crop might be bad for another crop, or, you know, might have effects that make it less profitable to grow plants in that particular region. So we have to be a little careful about gross generalizations and climate change, because it's an amazingly complex system that we live on, this planet Earth.
The kind of environmental butterfly effect, if you will.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then, so to keep it local, what do you drink, and how will this affect your grapes that you drink?
Well, I drink all kinds of things. I like trying a wide variety of grapes. So I don't really have a favorite variety per se. But in any case, any of them would be affected by this. And in the longer term, so looking at say 50 to 100 years down the track, there will be such magnitude of change in temperature and the environment that we may see wine styles becoming different because the environment is that much warmer. So, for example, the Marlborough style of Sauvignon Blanc, which is hugely popular, is sort of a style that's based around the fact that it's quite cool in Marlborough, and we have a flavor profile of the grapes and the wine that is aspects of ripeness and aspects of greenness. And as the temperature increases, the aspects of greenness will fade away a little bit and we'll tend to get more ripe characteristics. So we won't be able to make the same style of wine as temperatures increase unless we change something. Either that could be management, or it might be the varieties or clones that we use, et cetera, et cetera. So the industry really has to be aware of what's going to happen, because things change relatively slowly in the grape industry because there's a high amount of investment and it's very expensive to replant a vineyard. If you're putting in a vineyard now, you might expect that its useful life might be 50 or 60 years. So, you know, although it may make a really nice wine now, towards the end of that vineyard's life, it may not be able to. So we need to be thinking about how we're establishing our vineyards, how we're designing our vineyards to be able to cope with what we predict will be, you know, what our environment will be in another 40 or 50 years. That's stuff that you need to think about now if you're putting in a vineyard. So the industry is it'd be the same if you're doing avocados. You have to think longer term, and, you know, climate change is real. So you need to think about, well, what will the environment be like when this orchard or vineyard is halfway through its useful life? And will I be able to make a product that the consumer wants if we have these kinds of changes? So it's a very forward-thinking kind of process in these industries.
Yeah, I was thinking in somewhere like Gisborne, where we're mostly something like Chardonnay, it would probably be better to plant things like Cabernet or something that's kind of like...
Well, ultimately that could be very well. There's white varieties and red varieties that may do better there in another 40 years than Chardonnay is now. So, you know, there's a lot of crystal ball gazing going on, or there should be a lot of crystal ball gazing going on with these kinds of industries.
You would hope so, anyway.
Yeah.
And the other one is... What about beer?
Oh, beer. Well, interesting, because the thing about beer is that the complexity that you can have in beer is, to a large extent, determined by the brewer. So with wine, when you grow the grapes and you make the wine, often we're trying to do as little possible in the winery to express the grapes. The Marlborough style of Sauvignon Blanc is a really good example of that, because it really is essence of grape. There's not a lot of fiddling around that goes on in the winery. Whereas with beer, at least most people have the opportunity to take a range of ingredients, and they might source some of their ingredients from New Zealand, they might source some from Germany or the United States. And so they're sort of assembling a group of ingredients that will result in the beer that they want to make. So they have a lot more flexibility in that they can change the source of their materials to make the kind of beverage they want. So as long as you have the freedom to do that, climate change, in theory, shouldn't have much impact on the beer industry.
And then, so final, this is your crystal ball gazing, if you want to do it. But do you see any new regions popping up in New Zealand? I'm thinking like... Stewart Island, Sauvignon Blanc, kind of as, you know, it gets getting colder, so you got to move further south, or even Auckland Islands, you know?
right. Yeah, there definitely, you know, will be a shift as the temperature changes and we start to explore new regions. I mean, the wine industry is really a great one for innovation and taking risks, because a lot of the industry is really based around enthusiasm that people have for wine and saying, you know, I want to grow the next great Pinot Noir and I'm going to do it here. And they'll go ahead and put in some vines and just give it a go. So you know, we will see people experimenting with new varieties, new wine styles, and new locations as things progress through time. And you may even see people doing a bit of speculation and saying, well, you know, this spot of land may not be right, you know, really good right now, but in another 20